Welcome, welcome to another
Harry Potter. Harry Potter. Harry Potter. Harry Potter. Hey Potter people, hey Potter people. We're always talking, you're always listening. We're always talking, we're Pottercasting. Hey Potter people, hey Potter people. We talk about the Harry Potter stuff.
Yeah.
We talk about the Harry Potter stuff. We talk about the Harry Potter.
I heard you made out with a goblin. Oh my god.
Hey Potter people, hey Potter people. We're always talking, you're always listening. Hey Potter people, hey Potter people. We're always talking, we're Pottercasting.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Borders. In May, thousands of Harry Potter fans descended upon New Orleans for the Phoenix Rising Conference. Borders and your friendly podcast hosts were there to take in the sights and share a lively discussion of the series that bewitched the world. Listen in and watch the action yourself. Check out the Phoenix Rising Borders Book Club discussion at bordersmedia.com/Harry Potter or click the Borders banner at the top of the podcast page.
So thank you to the Sunrise Auditorium, the Las Vegas Public Library, for having us here. Thank you, Julie. Thank you, Harry and the Potters. This is now our fourth.
Counting what exactly? Counting Chicago. Counting
Chicago.
Disneyland.
Chicago Disney.
Counting
Chicago,
Albuquerque, Tucson,
Chicago,
and Phoenix.
Disney. Albuquerque.
Tucson.
Tucson.
Chandler, Phoenix.
Phoenix. This is six.
Cool.
Oh, wow. Tour is just flying by, guys. It's easy for it to fly by with these schmoes in the car.
What?
Wait. You'll see the videos. July 11th, I'll be going to the Clark County Library. I'll be back here in Vegas. These guys will be here, but we won't be doing a Pottercast. I'm going to be talking about the book that I'm writing about the Harry Potter fandom. Really excited about that and honored. I told Julie from the library when she asked me to do it, I said, you know, I'm not an author yet. You know, it's not out. She said, nah, it's fine. We'll fake it. I said, okay. all right. So we have been starting every show. So we've got to do it for Vegas. We have to figure out which city on our tour knows the most about Harry Potter. Pressure's on. We've been quizzing you. We've been giving you some predictions. And once that book comes out, we'll be able to tell which city knew it, which city didn't, which city looks real stupid. But you guys are in Vegas, you're used to betting.
Yeah, that's true.
No, you're not. You're all under 21. So we have a 5-question test that we've been giving to everybody. We've gotten not one identical set of answers, and we're hoping this continues so that we actually have a winner and not a tie.
Oh, no.
Oh, no, runaway sign. No. See, his arm is still up. It means he's going to live.
Broke it.
I'll fix it. You do the first question. I'll fix it.
All right.
Okay, well, the first question that we usually ask is, one of the biggest questions, of course, is, will Harry live or die at the end of Deathly Hallows?
Wait.
For the sake of our tally here, I'm going to say if you think Harry's going to live, to make your noise now. And if you think, if there's anyone left who thinks he's going to die, make your noise here.
Yeah!
Wow. Wait. There's no way half of you each made us noise that large.
Yeah.
Did some of you vote for both? Be honest. Ah, she did. Why? How could you vote for both?
It's fun to make noise.
So who won that?
I don't know.
I think that lives. Come on.
Well, at least we'll know that Vegas was indecisive on this question.
Yeah, I guess it's...
A lot of other cities were quite certain.
Yeah.
One way or the other.
Vegas can't get any points for this question.
Oh, my.
Either Harry lives or dies. It's not going to end like Harry sort of lived.
Yeah.
Sort of.
Okay, everybody make up your minds now. We're going to do it again. You ready? If Harry will live...
Stood up and everything.
I know. Okay. If Harry will die.
Oh, come on.
Yeah.
No question.
Harry Potter in the back. What do you think? Who won? Well, that's question one.
Question number two. About some of your favorite, your favorite Mr. Character here, Mr. Snape. Will Mr. Severus Snap survive?
Snap.
Deathly Hallows, make your noise. Not survive, I'm sorry. Is Mr. Snape trustworthy? Trust Snape. Or is he a very bad man who will betray? Looks like we trust.
I love that. She's all willing to go out on her, by herself.
Yeah.
But I don't care. Nobody agrees with me, but I'm going to go for it.
Yeah. Good.
Well, I think Vegas trusts Snape.
Sin City likes Snape. Interesting. Surprising not.
Okay, this is a biggie, and I know that, you know, I know what I think about this one, but do you think Harry is a Horcrux? If you say, think that he is, whoop it up.
Very little whoop.
Yeah, very little whoop. Okay, and if you think that he is not a Horcrux, really whoop it up.
A little bit more whoop.
A little bit more whoopy. I like that.
I like
it. All right,
Vegas.
Vegas does not think Harry's a Horcrux. Mark it down.
Check.
It is marked down.
Okay.
Okay. We also have the big question in Book 7 of whether Harry will return to go to school at Hogwarts.
Right.
If you think he will go to school at Hogwarts, go for it.
If you think he'll transfer to Beauxbatons. No?
Beauxbatons?
Yeah.
He'd have to be into butterflies and friendly hats and all that kind of thing.
Okay. If you think he will not be going to school, make your noise here. I think...
We're going to say that's a no.
No school. Drop out, Harry.
What did we say yesterday about dropout Harry? Magic school dropout. He's going to come down in the silver lame and sing.
Yeah.
You know, the girls with wands in their hair.
Right.
Magical dropout. Okay. Our last question. Do you think we will go behind the veil?
Hang on.
Wow, psyched on that one. Okay. If he will go behind the veil. We will go behind the veil. We will not go behind the veil.
You are just...
I agree with you. We will not go behind the veil, in my opinion.
I met her before. Her name is Contrary Mary.
Aw.
No, it's good. It's good. Stick to your opinions. It's good.
I agree with her. But okay, Vegas does not agree with me. Vegas thinks he will go behind the veil.
Aww.
I think we're done with the veil, personally.
So we're never going to learn what it's all about. It's just going to be like that thing.
I think after all of those years that they've studied that veil for us, and finally because Sirius went through it, that will be the year we figure out what the veil is. I don't know. I think that's a little too much.
Too much?
Yeah, I think it's just too big of a... Oh, Sirius went through it, so all of the centuries we've been studying it, now we'll know what it's all about because Sirius Black went through it.
That's right. He's got that handy dandy mirror. He can report back.
Here it is. Oh, Voldemort's been evil for 50 years. Now we'll kill him because Harry Potter's around. Yeah.
Why is
the story?
I don't know.
Why is the story, right?
Yeah,
thank you.
Right.
Okay.
Nah.
Yeah, John doesn't believe in stories. He thinks they're sort of silly.
Yeah.
Well, silly stories.
I'm sorry? Percy can go behind the veil and stay there, as far as I'm concerned.
He will be redeemed. He will come to the back to the
by
light.
By dying.
Well, okay. I'm sorry.
What? Percival means pierce the veil? Can we use Percy himself to... Can we get Grob to, like, throw him?
And then Grob can follow him. That would be good.
Yeah. He can go. He's gone.
It's interesting. Grop has, like, athletic skills to throw things. That would be kind of a good use for him.
I really don't want Grop anywhere near that veil.
He's like, oh, pretty. I'm not a Grop fan.
The whole veil comes down.
Yeah.
No. All right, well, we have a lot of other stuff in store for you, but we just signed up with a charity company who give very important messages to Harry Potter fans, and I think it's time to hear the first word from one of our sponsors.
Hello, I'm Harry Potter, the band Harry and the Potters, with the public service announcement for podcast listeners. If your letter doesn't make it to Santa Claus this year, you can give it to Dumbledore.
I'm pretty sure they're friends.
There you go. You learn something every day.
They're friends.
Nice.
I think so. They're both happy people.
Makes sense to me.
Yeah. Got the same white beard.
How's Fred doing, John?
Who?
Fred.
My friend, Mr. Fred, here is enjoying the breeze of the weather here in Vegas a lot more than the dry heat that was Phoenix. But this is his first time out of Phoenix, actually.
That's right. He's a traveling friend.
He did travel. He got to see the Hoover Dam a little bit ago.
The Hoover Dam's the mothership.
It is. It's a big dam.
We turned him into a portkey. And he actually got us the rest of the way here. Yeah. So
there's a video.
You'll have to watch that video later.
Yeah, what'd you say?
He did good. It was good work.
Well, in every city we're going to, we're also picking one giant canon conundrum. Who knows what a canon conundrum is? Or can guess? Yay for the podcast listeners. It's one relevant question that we've yet to figure out in the books, and we want to get your input on them. So we found a really great one
this
in the
car.
Thanks to one of our readers, whose name will be inserted in the show notes because I forgot to write it down. When Voldemort comes back in book 4, he said something very interesting. Now, when J.K. Rowling asked us to figure out what Voldemort might have done to make himself immortal, you know, that answer was Horcruxes, right? Oh, right, Horcruxes. Okay, done, we know. Here's the quote from Goblet of Fire. When I find it. What I was, even I do not know. This is Voldemort, by the way. I, who have gone further than anybody along the path that leads to immortality, you know my goal to conquer death, and now I was tested. It appeared that one or more of my experiments had worked. One or more.
So
not question.
Not just a Horcrux.
Right.
But what else did Voldemort do?
What else has Voldemort done to try to achieve immortality? Well, it's an experiment, you know?
Was each Horcrux an experiment?
Isn't it the same experiment? Wouldn't he not continue unless he was pretty sure one of them had worked?
Right.
The degeneration in his face was pretty good proof.
Because, see, remember, he tried once to obtain the stone, so that's an attempt on its own.
No.
And I would think he would... Well, yeah, but then to do the Horcrux, it would be another attempt. But I think when he's talking about something else... What else could he have done, though?
We're asking you because we have no idea.
That's why it's a conundrum.
Who's got a theory?
The
diary was a Horcrux.
That's right.
It's true.
I'm sorry? It was also a memory.
Right.
But that was a Horcrux with a lot of other junk added to it.
All right. I mean... I guess he could, like, say it's a testament to himself because he has his own little Death Eater party, happy band of group followers. But, I mean, what else is he? He doesn't have a shrine to himself, so I don't know what else he would do.
I bet he has a shrine to himself.
You think? He's got, like, a big
come on.
Little Voldy shrine, you know.
All his own pictures in the mirror.
Yeah, little,
you know. Dresses up in his
evil
going costumes.
Yeah.
What do you think, John?
I'm stumped on this one. I'm trying to figure out what else he could have done, and if he did do other things, you know, when we'd find out about them, and if it would be, you know, too much too late in the series to learn about something else. But I don't know. I hadn't thought about the idea that each Horcrux was its own experiment. Now I'm kind of thinking about that.
You know, I am thinking about that too. I think you might have just crashed our conundrum.
Hey,
yeah, sunk our conundrum.
But at that point, though, if in book 4, had he done all those? I mean, I guess he had done the diary and then presumably the cave, the locket, right?
If Nagini is a Horcrux.
And Nagini?
I'm still not kind of sold. Are you guys sold on that, the Nagini Sea? Neither am I.
No.
I don't know.
You don't think he had made all the Horcruxes by book 4?
No, because wasn't...
No, he made them by book 1. Whatever Horcruxes he had, I mean, he made by book 1. Not all of them. I mean, the ones that we know that he made. Yes. Right, you're right.
That's right.
Look at this.
Good.
Smart Alex.
That's right.
This is good.
Here, you want my seat?
Yeah.
Do we know which one he made from that death?
Well, Dumbledore presumes that it's Nagini.
Yeah.
You know? No.
I just don't understand making a living object a Horcrux.
The Nagini. Right. Because Nagini will die eventually.
Yeah, eventually.
Probably faster with a little bit of the evil dude in her.
Yeah.
You know?
Make her grumpy at any rate.
Wow. I don't know.
John had a good idea in the car.
I liked your idea. And you can imagine our conversations. We're just saying.
I'm trying to remember. We talked so much about so many things.
He says it once, and then it's gone. It disappears.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, like, let's see. What ways would you like to see yourself again and again? Let's see.
He said Voldemort had body doubles.
Oh, yeah. It was body doubles running around. So, you know, if they go into important battles, you could have somebody dressed up like Voldemort running in there. And just in case a stray spell goes towards Voldemort, he's got plenty of body doubles to jump in front just in case.
What's it's like the march of the toy soldiers, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah. Voldemort number 542 step forward. The question that we raised yesterday at one of these is that what happens, you know what Voldemort did in book four when he put himself back together in flesh, blood, and bone and all that? What happens if he did that with each piece of soul? Because he was existing as a piece of soul. Presumably, they're all equal pieces of soul. They're just ripped off, you know? Because could he go around and do it to everyone and have seven Voldemorts running around tearing up the place, you know? Down to five. Well, you know what I mean. If he got to the seven, and J.K. Rowling was asked once, what would have happened if in book two he was allowed to rise out of that book, and she said something very bad, which I can't explain. So, interesting. Ooh, they're all going No smart aleck.
No.
What do you think?
Oh my god. Wait, just to repeat it for the recording.
That would be a nightmare.
What's your name? Elizabeth says that if that happened, then they can all make Horcruxes of themselves.
Oh my god.
Overrun the world with Voldemort.
I bet he'd like that, though.
Cookie cutters. Like March of the Toy Soldiers again.
Yeah, or clone. He'd be like a clone army.
That would be
scary.
Star Wars now?
Yeah, sorry. But I thought the Horcruxes were just tied into the earth. They weren't, although they were parts of his soul, they were still the character, your personality.
In one of them? Meaning,
and all the Horcruxes just kept his personality, soul, aura tied to the earth. That's what the Horcruxes do. They're just like locked. They lock you down here, and that's why they have to all be destroyed. Because when he's killed finally, then he can leave.
But they're still pieces of soul. They're actual pieces of soul inside objects.
Right,
they do.
But then when he died, why wouldn't he have six consciences around the world, not?
Well, think about the diary. It thought on its own. Exactly, because it was ripped off when it was 16. So look, it's different.
But I think that diary itself was charmed.
Yeah, I think the diary was different than all the other.
I don't know. But then that's the question. Is there a master soul? Is there a piece of master soul? The one that's in the body? He said he was meaner than the meanest spirit, which means he wasn't spirit. He was soul. He was pure. He was a piece of soul.
They have to be activated or something. Like a password.
A password?
Yeah.
Maybe I got an Advil, Tylenol, Bear. Seriously.
All powerful one.
Oh, there's a whole argument going on over here. We should just... There's a hot air balloon theory, like Wizard of Oz kind of thing. Explain. You must explain. Wait, come here.
Like, okay, basically what she was saying is that, like, you got the master part, you know, of his spirit or whatever. Imagine it's like a hot air balloon. Well, the Horcruxes are all the ties that are holding it down. So until they're all destroyed, you know, they're still holding him down. And he can't, you know, as each one's destroyed, it's like a tie that's on going to when all the Horcruxes are destroyed. Then when you kill him, he
it's a wonderful
fly away.
Idea. It's an awesome idea. What backs it up?
I don't know. She just said it.
Thank you.
No, seriously, it could be. It could very well be. You're probably. I mean, you're probably right. You know. Yes, but that doesn't mean that that was their only function.
Right, but then if you're saying that they're all parts of the soul, then there should be all these different little consciences, and I think there's only one consciousness.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Thank you. Thank you very much. Okay. Who else has any ideas about this? What's your name?
I think that with your thing and having just one conscious, I think that in order to have it, like, once he was destroyed, when he went to Godric's Hollow, then he went to the most current one that he made because years, like, and then he went to live with the one that was most current because it was as close to how he was at that point. So even though the conscious, like, all the Horcruxes have his conscious in it, but it's the one that's most currently made.
Okay.
Like, do you know what I mean? Like, if he made one a week ago, then it would go to there.
Because the Horcrux is the object.
Yeah. So then,
not the soul.
Yeah, but then when he had the soul in there, then the most recent soul that was taken out of his body is the one that held the most of him. So that's the soul that he went to when the spell backfired.
I'm trying to follow. So so the when you make the Horcrux, you have the consciousness of that you had at the moment you made it.
Yeah, it's like a photograph.
And nothing after it.
Yeah. That's what I think, is that it's at that moment that it's made. And then after that, so that's why, like, his 16-year-old self, he, like, knew things that happened, but he had to ask Harry, like, what happened at the at Godric's Hollow, because he knew that it happened, because you can sort of, like, sense it, I think. I'm confusing myself now. But I think that...
Imagine how we
yeah,
feel.
I think they... I think they can... The piece of soul... Yeah. Yeah. And that's like, I think they can still like sense it, but they just don't know what happened. So they need to like be told.
You guys need to have more information about the books than we do.
Yeah.
It's like, oh yes, Ginny told him. I know.
Yeah.
It was in the appendix.
Well, yeah, well, Ginny talked to Riddle through the diary and filled them in with that stuff. Yeah, that makes sense because.
Well.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Never again. No.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. But you do understand.
No, not at all. No. We get it.
Yeah.
I love Vegas. Yeah, they're all like, but you get it, right? Do we have to explain it to you again? Thank you. I got to think about this for a few years. In the meantime, I think it might be time for a word from our sponsor, maybe?
Sounds good.
A word from our sponsor.
We've never heard this, so...
Hello, Pottercast listeners. This is Harry Potter from Harry and the Potters with a public service announcement. Be sure and cheer for the Chasers, too. Even though the points they score are basically meaningless, it doesn't mean they don't have feelings.
Yay! Oh, I like that. That's a very Hufflepuff attitude, I must say.
Here's my question. Can everybody hear the van in those things? Can you hear the driving? Can you hear the wind rushing by the windows? I love it.
Okay.
Oh, gosh.
I think it's time for...
Are we playing a game?
Should we do a game?
We've been playing this game since New Orleans, and we think this might be one of the last cities in which we play this particular game.
Yeah.
But because John lost... Well, no, he didn't lose, but he had a really bad showing of one, and...
Yeah, it was pretty.
We had him and the girl from the Lexicon, the Harry Potter Lexicon, the place that lists the Harry Potter stuff, right? So, and they both came up with the same spell. Just looked at each other. Oh, you'll see.
Yeah.
John, explain the rules.
Oof. Well, what we're gonna do is we bring up two of you, and then we name a category of a list of names or objects or places from the Harry Potter books, and the two of you need to go back and forth in naming one of these things from that category until one of you can't think of any more. So, if we brought up two of you and said, "Name a student at Hogwarts," and first person says, "You know, Harry, Hermione, Ron, Neville, Lavender, etc." Whoever doesn't get one loses. Whoever is the last person to name one wins the round.
And bragging rights, which are better.
Yes.
Yeah.
Who owns it? Who thinks they can do it?
Sure, come on up here.
Who wants this? Uh-oh, she's got robes.
Oh, it's from Avenue Q.
Yeah, it's not on the show.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I saw. I like that shirt.
Okay, category for these two. What should it be? How about... Yeah, that's a good one.
Yes. Okay, Mad Eye Moody.
Sirius Black.
Alive members of the Order.
No.
Lupin.
Aberforth Dumbledore. Mm.
Snape.
Mrs. Weasley.
McGonagall.
Mr. Weasley.
Nice.
Let's see. Oh, Mundungus.
Nice.
Yes.
Da-dong, dong.
Albus Dumbledore.
Ooh, James Potter.
Mm.
Lily Potter.
How about Frank Longbottom?
Albus Longbottom.
Yeah. Tonks.
Oh, I was just going to say Tonks.
Come on, Tom.
She already said Lupin.
I know, but I know what you're
going to say. Oh, no. Bill Weasley.
Did that happen?
Isn't it Dawlish?
Oh!
Oh, it always tricks everybody, doesn't it? Mr. Dawlish. No.
Okay.
It's sad. Someone said
Lupin. I already said that.
Oh, okay. So close. Always the tricky one. Dallas appreciates the shout out.
I don't think we've ever...
Whoa.
I don't think we've ever gone more than, like, four rounds.
I know.
In any city. That was intense.
You were just...
Very nice,
that
face.
Was good.
Scared
me.
Like
all right, two more. Leaky Mug.
She's the big one back.
And the red tie. I miss those Leaky Mug shirts.
So do I.
I don't think I ever got one.
Isn't that sad?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no, it's not.
That's pretty bad, actually. Oh, Fred. All right. Category is famous armadillos in the Harry Potter books.
Fred.
Oh.
No? Okay. All right. How about... I want to see someone do good on this category. I want to hear magical beasts or creatures.
Oh.
I'm a little upset. Do you want me to start?
Go ahead. Yeah.
Niffler.
Hungarian Horntail.
Oh, I was going to say dragon. I know it's on my tongue. Yeah.
If you knew what song it would.
Hold on. I have the picture in my mind except I can't think of the. Okay.
Sphinx. Kinky Funk.
Ba-da-ba.
Blast and Discroot.
Red Caps.
No help, audience, please. No. No help,
I didn't hear it anyway.
Phoenix. Hippogriff.
They're doing good, though. I think Grumpy Plank.
Can I just give the name of one? Like, the Aragog?
Oh,
he's an arachnid. I can't think of the actual name.
He's a magic spider.
He's a magic spider. Okay.
Okay. Oh, good job, though. I'm just waiting for one of them to say flubberworm, because that's one of my
favorites. Flubberworms. I like this
flubberworms.
I like the flubberworms, the West End of Scrooge.
The Krups, the boat.
It was
tribbles.
An acromantula, by the way. It was an acromantula.
I want to hear you say the one I like the most.
That's what it was.
What do you like
it
the
might
most?
Be.
Famous
I want John to play.
That's
who else wants
true.
John to play?
Oh, the Krups. Uh
oh.
Who wants to play John? Watch out. Who thinks they'd be the best against John?
The pressure.
Who's? What's okay? 84? Come here, 84.
Can I just challenge Fred here?
Yeah, Fred. No. No stuffed animals are allowed to help you.
This is Michael.
All right, stand up. Face your foe.
Oh, jeez.
Bow to each other as polite.
Bow.
Come on, Crucio.
Fred's going to play for me.
No.
Good luck, Fred.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Good luck to you.
They're just going
to
stand up there.
You picked the hard ones. That's not fun.
Oh, it's a big
player.
Quidditch player.
Done.
You know, it's fun when it's not ridiculously hard. Might as well pick famous armadillos.
Oh, come on.
John likes this one, so you gotta be ready.
Spell.
Oh, man, one of the Chris players.
Yeah,
that was like
it's
three
too hard.
Chris players.
That makes sense. Spells, come on. This is.
You can go first.
Yeah.
You can go first. I'm going to forget all of them because I'm on stage now.
No, you won't. He's the one who used that on us all the time.
Not
no.
playing games, certainly.
No.
All right.
Okay.
John starts.
Okay.
That's always a good place to start.
Is it alphabet spell?
No, just the first letter would be a good
hint. Okay. Somebody start.
ABC. All right. Wingardium Leviosa.
Which voice gets you extra points?
Okay, I want to be rich players.
Come on,
I don't,
do it.
I don't know any spells.
You know spells.
What?
Spells or Quidditch players.
I can't about
spells
10.
Spells or Quidditch players?
Sure.
Either one? Or Quidditch players. Okay, we'll make that.
There you go.
We'll do both. Right.
That's good. There you go.
All right,
that's very helpful.
Jenny Reasley.
I like that.
Right.
Jenny Weasley is very good with
yes,
player. I'm going to stick with the spells and say Lumos.
Harry Potter.
I'm going to turn off my Lumos with a Nox. What's that?
Ron Weasley.
Ron Weasley is another good Quidditch player. I'm going to... I feel like I'm playing like a role-playing game now. It's fun. What can we do to Ron? We're going to Imperio Ron. Oh, sad. To make out with Hermione.
Okay.
Now it's okay. As long as we're doing that.
All right.
Okay. Malfoy.
Malfoy is going to get AK'd. Sorry. Avada Kedavra to Mr.
What is that AK?
I just said Avada Kedavra to Mr. Malfoy.
Here you.
Avada Kedavra.
Wait, spells too. I can't remember.
Who was that one?
I can't remember his spell.
Go for it.
Okay, I'll just use Expelliarmus.
Whoa! Jeez, careful with that one. I mean, geez, that's not cool. Fred's going to retaliate with a Crucio because that really hurt.
A Avada Kedavra?
Oh.
You did that. Sorry.
Oh, we're sorry, but you did
that. Good work. Fred's record remains.
Is he undefeated?
Fred
is undefeated. Fred
remains undefeated.
Well, before we move on to our favorite part of the show, it's time for another public service announcement.
Hello, this is Harry Potter from Harry and the Potters with the public service announcement for Pottercast listeners. I grew up inside a cupboard. Nobody called child services. If you see a boy in a cupboard, say something.
Very nice. Very nice. Now I feel extra bad for Harry all of a sudden.
I know. Poor Harry.
That's awful.
That was awesome.
There was.
Thank you. Yeah, why didn't anybody do that?
That's a good question.
Okay. And there'd be no book. Okay.
No book.
Okay. Well, this is our very favorite part of the show is when we get to hear either things you want discussed on the podcast, your ideas, your theories, it's just you, all you. So what we're going to do is have you come up here and line up to get your
yes.
questions, thoughts, whatever, so that we can keep it going. So who's first?
Who will it be?
And we've never had nobody before. Oh, he's this guy. Come up.
Here we go. You gotta catch Fred though to ask a question.
You gotta catch Fred.
Whoa! Oh,
oh,
Fred.
No dice. Sit down. No, I'm kidding.
Drop dead Fred.
I wasn't sure Fred was coming.
No.
What's your name?
Scott.
Hi, Scott.
My question is, how many people here actually think that the locket that they found in Order of the Phoenix mm-hmm. is that locket? That's supposed to have been the...
Yes,
the
indeed.
Yes, we do.
Because that's
yes,
my big question that I was looking for. Because you used to say a heavy locket they can't open.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The best, yeah, that's the question now is who's
well,
got it now.
Well, creature has it.
I think Dung was trying to sell it off to Aberforth. That's what I think he's trying to do.
So that was my whole question is where did it end up? Because it could have ended up in the nest with creature.
That's
I think Madame Rose Murda has it.
It could be in Grimald. It could be at Hogwarts.
She was a jewelry person? Mm-hmm. Madame Rose
Murda? She bought it on Wizarding eBay, actually.
Right up.
eBay.
Yeah. Thank you very much. Hey, gotta catch Fred. Yeah. Catch Fred. Ah,
oh, no.
Yes.
Fred's getting abused left and right
Gave
today.
Gave a warning. What's your name?
He's got a hard head.
My name's Marlena.
Please, he has protection.
He's got a hard back.
That too.
Okay, I have a theory about how Dumbledore always knew what was going on at Hogwarts.
Mm-hmm.
He used the chocolate frog cards to spy on the students.
Oh.
Yeah.
I've never heard that theory before. It's awesome.
We've said that on the podcast
we
before.
Have.
I've never heard Melissa say that before.
No. Let's go to audio tape editors, thank
yeah.
you. They'll do it in the show. No, we have because when he says, when Harry gets the card, his first card is Albus Dumbledore,
right.
He looks at him, and then when he looks back, Dumbledore's gone. So I always feel like that was like the little chocolate card Dumbledore running off to tell everybody a report back that Harry Potter is safely on the train on the way to Hogwarts. I don't think that'll ever be revealed, though. You have no idea how closely I've watched you. All
there's
those
chocolate...
As long as they don't take me off the chocolate
right,
cart.
And that as well. Mm-hmm. As long as they don't take them off the chocolate cart. Yeah, I think...
Well, that and all the pinhole cameras in Hogwarts.
Yeah. Does it work at
cameras.
Hogwarts,
oh, right, right.
They're wizarding pinhole cameras.
The radio don't work at Hogwarts. Okay.
Also, how it works is like... My theory is like, because people think, well, kids don't carry their chocolate carts everywhere with them. They leave them laying around, and I also think that the house elves do not pick up personal items of the students, just like trash and stuff that's obvious trash, because in books we've known that Harry has left like an essay out on the table out by the fireplace, and it's still there the next morning.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the chocolate frog cards are left scattered all over the common rooms, and they pick up the conversations that are happening, and they report back if it's important.
That's pretty good.
I think you're right.
I don't know.
Awesome.
I don't
thank
know.
You.
I think the house elves
can
are pretty responsible about what they pick
yeah.
up. Good catch.
What's your name?
Elizabeth.
Okay.
Okay. Okay, I've actually been wondering about this and trying to get people to talk about it on the lounge, but everyone ignores me. So now here's my chance.
We're sorry they ignore you.
I actually have a big theory that the magical creatures are going to be very important in Deathly Hallows.
Yes.
I think that, you know... In Deathly Hallows, in Book 6, Dumbledore says that we have, paraphrasing, obviously, that we have far too long been mean to our fellows and it's going to come back and haunt us. I think it's either going to, a lot of them are going to help the Death Eaters or a lot of them are going to help Harry and the trio. Just wondering what you guys thought about
split
that.
Split down the middle here. Which creatures will fight for good and which will fight for bad?
We had a conundrum on this, actually, with Steve. We talked about the role of the centaurs, and I think that... So we did touch on it briefly. But I think that they will play a huge part. I think that the house elves in particular will help out a lot because they know all the secrets of the castle.
Yeah. Well, the house elves will do whatever Sprout tells them to do because...
No.
That's just
no.
Where...
no. Stop.
I had a
don't
Hufflepuff.
Start this now. This is all day in the car. If you notice, if you see our car, by the way, we need to, if you guys want to draw on our car, every city somebody draws on
the
car.
We have markers. No. It's lots of fun.
Go graffiti our car. It's nice.
One of the things is beware house elves. Hufflepuff can side.
The house elves, be careful.
Who did that by my window? Who would that be? Well,
she has a bag of shackles for the house elves in the back.
So. John maintains that Helga Hufflepuff enslaved the house elves, which infuriates Sue and drives me to insanity because it's all they do is think about it. But I think I think that in the books, what we're seeing is a lot of different groups of magical creatures getting increasingly ticked off that they don't get equality, and who's offering them equality? Our guys. You know, so I think that we're going to see the house elves running with the little Harry on their banner, running out on the field.
What about the giants? Well, yeah, the giants too, because of the, you know, Madame Maxime. But another thing is, when we saw that new cover art, or the children's edition of the UK one, and a lot of people speculated that was a goblin on the back and in there. So that could, they could be.
Or it could be creature.
It could be creature. So, yeah.
Seems like he's pulling him, right?
Yeah.
Do you think the creature will be good because Harry starts to be nice?
No.
He's a sourpuss.
I think creature is like beyond help. He's just creature at this point. Yeah.
And maybe that dragon that we saw in the deluxe version. We don't know. Maybe
that's creature.
It's Draco. They're riding him into the sunset. No. Thank you. Wait. You ready? Are you ready?
What's that now?
Oh.
The dragon that Garth Gringot.
The one. That's it. Yeah.
Wait. Will Fred help?
Ooh, is Fred going
to... Interesting. Will Fred help with this question?
No, with the magical creatures.
Fred has a prior engagement. So, Fred will be busy. He has some scheduled appearances, actually.
I see.
Armadillo conventions worldwide.
My name is Kimberly. I just have one small theory of why Dumbledore might be alive.
Ooh.
In number 6, I think it might be...
Let her speak.
In number 6, I think it's Slughorn and Hagrid that are drinking, and they get drunk, and they start singing the song about what happens after a wizard dies, what happens during the ceremony, and they talked about snapping the wand. And at Dumbledore's ceremony for his funeral, his wand was never snapped.
Did they say they snapped the wand at the funeral?
No.
Well, it was a very wordy song.
No, I just think it's possible that J.K. Rowling, I don't know, she seems to sneak things in there.
Sure, that'd be a great place to sneak it in.
She said, Joe herself said it in New York.
I haven't been keeping up.
Sorry.
No.
I know, I don't want him to be gone,
okay.
I'm still holding out for the wallet-sized portrait of Dumbledore that Harry can carry around with him on the Horcrux sign. Be like, Dumbledore, I'm lost. Where am I?
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Sorry. Before we go to our next one, hang on. We have a special announcement from Harry and the Potters.
Hello. This is Harry Potter from Harry and the Potters with a public service announcement for all you Pottercast listeners. If you're at Hogwarts, don't go to the bathroom alone. Weird stuff happens there at least once a year. Always use the buddy system.
It does.
Sorry, threw me off. My bad. That was all me. I'm sorry.
What do you call that outside?
Poor Fred.
What's your name?
Hi.
Hi.
Yeah. Okay. I have a question. In Goblet of Fire, when Voldemort is in the graveyard and his followers, he tells them the following: "And we have 6 Death Eaters missing, 3 dead in my service. Could the other 3 missing be Bellatrix and Rodolphus the Strange of Rabastin? One too cowardly to return, he will pay Karkaroff. Could that be him? One who I believe has left me forever, he will be killed. Severus. And of course, one who remains... my most faithful servant and who has already re-entered my service, Bodycraft Jr. Do you think he meant the aforementioned people?"
This is the question. There are these 6 people, these 6 empty spaces at the big Death Eater party in Book 4.
Yes.
Right.
And there's a lot of question about who's who. Is it Snape? Is it what were the other ones? Snape, Barty Crouch. The one who he believes who left him forever, I thought was Karkaroff, and he's gone already.
Yeah.
And one is my most faithful servant, and one is what?
His most faithful Barty Crouch.
And then the other one is? Too cowardly to return.
Turn.
Doesn't it have to be Snape? Too cowardly to return.
Cowardly return was Karkaroff.
Too cowardly to return. He believes Snape has left him forever. Because as far as he knows at this point, he's been, you know, being all misty
right,
in Albania
right.
For a while. And all he hears is that Snape is hanging out with Dumbledore.
Right. Sure.
You know, so it's got to be.
Right, because Snape doesn't go back until the end of the book. So.
He had to do some convincing. He says he had to do some convincing.
Right. We'll see.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you.
Can you imagine that scene once Snape did come back after Harry escaped that last time?
Yeah.
In the cemetery.
Yeah.
They're all Snape's like, nice of you to show up, Severus. You missed the party. Yeah. Harry was here. We missed him again. Can you imagine the conversation that must have been?
Snape's all holding him home. Hold on. Okay, you ready? You can get it. I know it. I believe. You ready? Okay. Very nice.
I was wondering what all you guys think of how Wormtail's life debt will play out. Because J.K. Rowling made such a big deal out of that in Prisoner of Azkaban that it has to play out somehow. She can't just drop it after that.
Thank you.
I don't want to see like everybody and their cousins jumping in front of AKs for Harry in this book. That'd be kind of silly. So Wormtail, I don't think, deserves to be a direct martyr for Harry. But I think maybe he could pass along some real good information if he had the opportunity to do so.
Well, she never says it's specifically a life debt in the same way that what Lily did. You know, what Lily did was very specific. She was given the opportunity to live or die, and she chose death. Harry just stopped other people, you know, so it's just that he's in his debt. I don't know if it's a particular life debt, you know, but... It has to play out. I personally feel that Pettigrew will be reminded of what his good life was like with those people and in the last moment do something that is crucial. Whether it's save Harry, you know, stop Voldemort from doing something, whatever, anything. Just in that last awesome moment he does something and it helps Harry shoulder on, you know. That's what I think.
What do we know about life debts? I'm sorry.
Oh, no, I don't know what we know about life.
We know that...
I mean, if you don't fulfill your debt, what happens to you?
Nothing. You just don't fulfill
your debt. I thought it was
like
a magical binding wizarding.
No, it's not like that. The only like, true life debt we've heard of has been Lily Potter. And that's because Harry doesn't owe his mother anything. It's been balanced.
But what did Dumbledore say when he said, you may find that... having Wormtail
in your debt
to you is going to be like a good thing.
Yeah. Voldemort won't want a servant in Harry Potter's debt, but it doesn't say, hey, you have a life debt now. He's just in his debt.
I don't know if it's necessarily life debt. It's like a wizard debt. I don't know if anybody remembers that or not. I could have sworn it was...
And the only other one is James and Snape.
Right,
because
right,
James saved Snape's life, and now, but it wasn't like
paid though, right?
He's going to die if he doesn't do it. But Snape was just the kind of person who wanted it even. He did not want to be James Potter's debt. It's just a pride thing.
Yeah,
you could choose not to repay a debt. We all do it, especially in Vegas.
But see, you know that. You know what's really interesting though, because he had to save his life. So does that mean that in fact that Pettigrew must save Harry's life?
No. No, I don't think so. Well, but that's the thing. Will he? And it's about choices, right? So will he have the opportunity to make a choice and you know, and pay him back? And I think he will. He was in Gryffindor.
Well, maybe he'll give, like, instead of directly saving Harry's life, maybe he'll impart that knowledge, like something about Lily or, you know, the Marauders that will help Harry in that battle.
I mean, I know a lot of people talked at length about this because they made a big deal to say how because Voldemort came back with the flesh of Wormtail, if that debt was somehow transferred over to Voldemort. So I don't think it's just a flimsy little on your honor thing. I think there's some magic behind this. And that's the way I read it. A lot of people I've read have read that passage. So I don't know exactly what the rules are. I don't think it's as strict as the unbreakable vow by any means. But
no, there's not, because look what happened with James.
There's something there, too. There's something to it.
But with Snape, you know, there was no magic involved there. Snape just felt like he had to save Harry's life to make up for James saving his life. He felt like he could, you know, like that's the other example. And I think it sort of cheapens it for there to be magic involved. This is about your character and who you are. You know, he's got to be a good person, not rely on magic.
We'll have to see.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
We got time for what? Two more?
Yeah, two more.
Two more, but first we have another word from our friends, Harry and the Potters.
Hello, Pottercast listeners. This is Harry Potter from Harry and the Potters with a word of friendly advice. When disobeying the rules, make sure you're doing something that Dumbledore thinks is cool. That way he'll give all the points to your house.
True that? Okay.
Okay, after Dumbledore dies, the spell that he had just put on Harry is lifted, and Harry's, like, back to normal. So does that mean, like, when any wizard dies, or, like, any spell that they've done gone? So would Hogwarts be an unsafe place?
Is your magic canceled by your death?
But no, there's a series of enchantments around that castle, so I think even that have been there from like way back. So I mean, even when Godric Gryffindor and those guys founded it, that those enchantments have withstood time.
Who do you suppose put the spell that sticks Mrs. Black's portrait to the wall? I don't think it's somebody who's still alive. So I think the magic doesn't necessarily cancel when you're dead.
Well, she did it herself, right?
Spell.
Yeah.
So there must be different magic that. There must be certain magic that is flimsier than others.
Yeah.
Certain magic is permanent. If that was the case, then when the founders died, a lot of things would change.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
If Dumbledore permanently frozen Harry into that spot, then
we wouldn't have a book.
Very boring book 7.
Very boring. Harry stared at the wall on the top of the astronomy tower for the fourth month in a row. Thank you very much.
Woo! Good one.
Okay, I think I know where the locket is on 12 Grimmauld Place.
Okay.
And just rereading Order of the Phoenix, when Harry was leaving, it was saying how he was dragging his trunk, and there was a lump in the carpet, and it got stuck on that lump in the carpet. And I think that there's a hidden passage or something underneath there, and that's where Creature hid it. Because I don't think that Joe would have specifically said about a lump in the carpet and his trunk getting caught on it if she didn't mean something by it.
That's a possibility, but I don't think so.
Ah, Sue.
I knew that was very...
I know. Strangely, it was...
Unfair and accepting with the Hufflepuff.
No, but I mean, I think that's real. I just think that was just... Just a way to describe the old and tattered house, you know. But it's a good idea. It's a possibility. You never know. I'm always wrong anyway.
Before we go, we decided on a new little segment the other day in the car because we like to torture John.
This is good.
It's a quiz John Noe segment.
Oh, jeez.
So if anybody's got a real stumper for John, throw it at him. Let's go.
But silence.
Oh. Everybody's afraid to stump me.
Well, you performed the
Fred's help. Where's Fred?
Slash quit. I got Fred.
I need Fred's help.
Nobody, come on.
Okay.
Okay.
The Quidditch captain when Gryffindor won the championship the first time in the books.
Yeah.
The captain.
When Gryffindor won. The House Cup? Not the House Cup. The Quidditch Cup? Yeah. For the first time?
First time.
Yeah. Was it Oliver Wood? No? Was that
a
great question?
It was.
Oliver Wood. Good.
Yeah.
Yeah, good.
Oh, that wasn't a fun stump, John Noe. I thought John Noe was going to be stumped.
Okay.
But thank you very much. Well, thank you, guys. Harry and the Potters are coming very shortly. Go get your tickets. Go.
Woo!
Go.
Thank you.
You've missed it.
I confess myself disappointed.
W. Three.
Oh, I'm about time to...
Now, if you two don't mind, I'm going to bed.
Great, Scott. No wonder. Look at the time. We've been here nearly 4 hours. Spooky how the time flies when one's having fun.